News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KBEL. Good evening. I'm Steve Evans. Monday, the Uinta County Commissioners voted to reduce property taxes on the county's portion of taxes by nearly 37%. Now, according to commissioners, the county continues to have sufficient funds for all planned capital projects and operations. And this move, according to their press release, will not affect services the county offers county citizens. Over the next 30 to 40 minutes, we'll discuss the financial condition of the county, past, present, and future, and answer questions raised by some elected officials and citizens present during Monday's public hearing on this matter. We've invited Uinta County Commissioners and Uinta County Budget Officers to join us on the air today to discuss this unprecedented action. Good evening. This is News Talk KBEL, and I'm Steve Evans. Due to the importance of this subject, we have preempted the regularly scheduled Meet the Candidate series for tonight. The Meet the Candidate radio forum will doom again tomorrow evening at 5 and continue through June 28th primary. Now, this program will be posted on our website at basinnow.com on the Public Affairs page under the Community tab. Let's welcome to the KBEL studios Uinta County Commissioners Bill Stringer, Bart Haslam, and Uinta County Budget Officer Mark Caldwell. I would like to excuse Commissioner Brad Horrocks, as he was not able to make it this evening. He was invited but was not able to make it. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. There's a lot of excitement. Some people are excited. Some people are concerned. Some people are raising their eyebrows. Some people just don't know what to think at this point. So we felt it important to invite you in to answer very direct questions that the public has regarding this matter. Let's start with the plan. According to the press release, which you issued on Monday, the budget amendment adopted Monday reduces Uinta County 2002 property taxes from $11.4 million to $7.2 million. Now, that's a reduction of $4.2 million, according to your press release, or 36.89%. 4 years ago, the commissioners were debating a property tax increase. How is it that the county can now afford to reduce property taxes by nearly 37%? Who would like to take that? Commissioner Stringer, would you like to take that?
That's the certified tax rate.
That's every year.
That's every year
this process.
So, but the county commission voted not to increase that.
We did not take the certified rate.
Okay, but the point being is that we were needing those financial resources 4 years ago. How is it?
No.
We didn't need it. It was brought up by our clerk auditor that we needed it. And if you listen to the meetings over the last probably 5 or 6 years, every time the certified rate comes up for discussion, they say we need to accept that rate because we need the money. And we have proven that that's not true. We don't need the money. We've been overtaxed. We have too much money in our bank accounts, and we've taken that money to pay this debt off.
How much money do we have in our bank accounts, Mark?
Oh,
in
at the end balance at the end of last year, December 31st, 2021, we had a total balance of $102 million.
Is that, are those obligated?
So some are restricted, some are unrestricted, but a lot of the restricted funds are restricted by purposes that the county commission determines. So they have the option of unrestricting or restricting those funds.
All right.
Steve, could I just say one thing on that? That's been ongoing. If you look back when they built the conference center, they had $85 million, roughly, left. Okay. In the time since the conference center was built and we've taken office and we've done what we have been doing to paying the debt off, not only have we paid off, let's see, it's been a total of 56. So we paid off about $30 million over the last 3 years and still gained in our bank accounts up to $102 million. So we've been paying debt off the whole time, and we're still gaining money in the bank accounts.
Big question that I have is, where have you made these cuts, and has county services been affected by the cuts that you've made to bring in this kind of revenue?
No, we have done, and I know you've heard me talk about this, but we've looked at it a business mind. We went in, and anything that we could do that would lower the amount of money we needed, maybe leasing graders instead of purchasing graders, instead of we've cut some benefits. We've cut a 450 policy that we've talked about that was an ongoing insurance program for employees after they retire. And it paid for their insurance 90% and 90 to 95% until they turn 65. So if they retired at 45, 50 years old, we paid for it for 15 years.
Bless their spouses. Yeah, I remember
talking with you about that. Yeah, and so we've made cuts. We have made cuts, but we've changed the way our justice court works. We joined up with Vernal City, and that saved us hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So what I'm hearing from you is by sound management decisions, you've been able to reduce the budget to the point to where you can offer a tax reduction.
And the other thing is we have realized that the taxpayer has been overtaxed. We don't need the amount of money that they've been charging over the last 15 years.
Well, let's see. You've in some documents that you provided me, Mark, it looks like according to financial records that were shared with Evans Family Media, the county spent $72 million in 2019.
Yeah, that's correct. That's the budget.
Spent?
Yes.
Spent, not budget, but spent, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to clarify that. In 2021, the county had spent $49 million, roughly.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And change. Okay. That's a $24 million reduction.
Yeah, there have been some cuts. Sometimes within the budget, there are transfers between funds. And so that kind of makes the number look bigger than the actual spending because you have transfers between accounts.
Okay.
That could account for some of the $72
million. And we paid off.
And then we paid off loans. Yeah, in 2020, there were $9.9 million of loans paid off.
Let's talk about debt. I've heard it mentioned in the hearing that cash is king. I've heard that repeated several times, that we want to have cash in the bank in case there's an emergency. We want to have cash in the bank to meet whatever future issues that might be facing Uinta County. Is $102 million, apparently, and from your judgment, it is too much.
It is too much. Just look at it. If we're spending $49 to $50 million a year, what number is it that we need? You know, everybody that we've talked to, you need a year and a half's worth of money. $77 million takes care of that. With this, now our loans are paid off. We don't have those payments any longer.
And how much debt does the county have?
Today?
Bart Haslam, how much county debt?
As of today or when we get finished when with the
finish
project?
When you finish doing what you're going to do. We'll talk about the...
When we finish the project that we're working on right now, we hope to be debt-free, a bond debt. Now, we're going to have the credit cards that we run each month. We're going to have those kind of debts, but the bond-related debt will be taken care of.
Okay. Mark, could you explain to us what a general obligation bond is? And that's associated with the Uinta County jail corrections facility.
Yeah.
What is the general? Because we're talking about a general obligation bond. What does that mean?
So in 2015, the taxpayers of Uinta County voted to issue that bond. So it's backed by the taxpayers of Uinta County, general obligation.
Okay.
And so the taxpayers approved that in 2015, and the county went out and took on that debt. It was about $33 million of debt.
How is a bonded debt different than just a commercial debt?
Well, you issue bonds, and there are bondholders.
Okay.
So you actually have individuals holding those bonds that we owe.
There's restrictions on bonded debt, correct?
Yes, there is. It depends on the bond and the issuance, what the restrictions are.
Also, in the hearing, in the commission meeting Monday, Sheriff Steve Labrum addressed the jail. And he explained that with the state inmates that we're getting about 116 state inmates, and we're bringing in about $2.5 million from them. Mm-hmm. And that he was trying to get federal inmates. According to Sheriff Labrum, the federal inmates are actually better inmates to manage. Well, how does the debt, the bonded debt, restrict us from having these federal inmates?
So the interest earned on the bonded debt is tax-free interest. And so it would a lot of the federal prisoners, the federal prison system is privatized. And so you have companies that go out and build prisons that house federal prisoners. So it would be a disadvantage to those private businesses to have to compete against someone who was issuing tax-free interest. And so there's a restriction if you have a jail that's funded by tax-free interest that you can't take. There's a limit to the number of prisoners you can take from the federal government.
I think Sheriff Labram stated, I'm looking at my notes here, 48 prisoners bonded at $90 plus dollars. This would, at least that's what they're paying at the Tooele Jail. So that's a little over $1 million annually. So you're proposing to pay off the debt, right?
Yes.
What are the advantages of paying off this general obligation bond associated with it?
Just to refresh everyone's memory, that originally that the jail debt had been a loan that the county was paying 5% on the money. And one of the reasons we went with a GO bond is we were able to cut the interest rate and the amount of money. I think we saved $15, $16 million by getting rid
over
of
the
that
term
loan.
Of the loan.
Yes,
okay.
Over the term of the loan by going to a GO bond. The thing that it did do is it then got us in trouble with the federal prisoner issue. But prior to the pandemic, we were running pretty well with state and Salt Lake County. So we weren't really having the cash crunch that mm-hmm. we're having now. So as we move forward and we come into this, we pay off this debt, we now get back to being able to take all the Salt Lake County prisoners or all the state prisoners that they can send us. We still have to keep room for our local population. And then we take the federal, which will help us again, bring in, that will save us in the general fund. We won't need to use that to fund the personnel jail.
Okay, so will the jail be self-sufficient at that point with $3.5 million?
It gets much closer. It was very close to break even or had been over before the pandemic hit.
Debt service?
That was, no, because the debt service was in...
Separate.
Had moved over into the property tax. So we were paying that $900,000
interest
payment a year. But one of the requirements that the commission had with Sheriff Norton and then also with Sheriff Labram was that we needed to see if they got the staff, they would need to be budget neutral. And they were able to do that to a very large degree until the pandemic hit.
Stephen, keep in mind that initially, right when we pay this off, that cuts $2.4 million off of property tax.
And out of the budget.
And out of the budget.
So that's what you mean by this going forward?
Yes.
Okay. What is the amount of debt obligation with the bond? How much is owing
At the beginning of the year, we owed $26.5 million on the general obligation bond. There's a $1.5 million payment due this year.
On the principal?
Yeah, on the principal.
And
there's $947,000 in interest for the current year.
Okay, $940,000, almost $1 million worth of interest.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we'll eliminate that.
That'll be gone, yep.
All right, plus we'll get $1 million supposedly from federal employees or prisoners.
Yeah, so revenue will go up, our expenses will go down.
Okay, all right. So how much is owing on the facility? We're going to take that out of the $103 million. What will that remain?
So there's $26.5 million on the general obligation bond right now.
So we'll still have about $25 million,
$75 million
in the general fund.
We're balance. Sitting good. The rumors out there that we're depleting the funds, it's going to be zero. That is not true.
All right. Will this affect CIB funding? I heard it argued yesterday that by the county not having any debt, if the county had an infrastructure project that they presented in front of the community impact board, that they would be declined, arguing that the county doesn't have any debt, they don't need to have these projects. Will it affect our ability to seek grants through the community impact board?
Steve, it hasn't in the past. We have taken districts, this last month we took some districts to the Impact Mitigation Board to get some money for a fire station and then some downtown projects that we're working on. And at the time, everybody is coming back with a 50-50 loan grant split. We come back within the, for the fire station, we came back, we got 3.1 million in grant, and we're putting up 500,000. So it hasn't affected us in the past. I don't think that it will. You have to keep in mind that this, Uinta County is the largest producer in the state. This mineral lease money goes, it comes from Uinta County. So they're very lenient and they help us along because that's where the money comes from. The biggest chunk.
Well, and to add to that, I think in 2014 or 15, the district's total, I think we're running around $50 million in loan debt. And as of today, it is down around $5 million. And these projects are still being approved. Sometimes credit rating isn't all about having loans that you are paying on. It's about your income versus your what you paid off. So,
Commissioner Stringer, what's the real motivation behind doing this?
Saving money in the long run. Okay. And also, I think there may be more to it later, but it's a continuation of what we've been doing for, again, since about 2015, finding a way to reduce how much money we're paying in interest, reduce what we're paying in debt, reduce that debt load, pure and simple.
All right. Jim Drollinger was at the meeting as a citizen, and he stood up and made some comments that I thought were quite interesting. He said he pointed to inflation factor of 10% with the money sitting in the bank. The inflation factor 10% would affect and it would be better off in the pockets of the taxpayers. Are older people struggling with inflation more than others? Will this help them?
I think inflation's hitting everybody at a, that depends on who you look at. I saw a statistic last week that households that are make over $200,000 are living paycheck to paycheck. Well, part of that is because they leveraged into buying homes at low interest rates and or got into things that they couldn't really, they'd been used to an environment of less than 2% inflation. And now that inflation's going up, it's taking everything with it. So I don't know that in the case of businesses, I don't know if it's money back in the pocket or if it's money back into the business, but it's certainly not going to hurt the marginal earners. It's real money. Now, the thing about it is you've got to use it. I think Mr. Drollinger is correct. If you just put your money in the bank, you have less tomorrow than you did today. If it's sitting in the bank and you haven't spent a dime, you still have less in a week, less in a month. That's what we're seeing with our projects is everything is going up. It's twice as expensive as it was a year ago.
Comment that came from the public. A gentleman stood up and addressed the commission and everyone in the room. I want to state that this was perhaps the most contentious public meeting that I've ever attended. His comment was that there's just too much personal investment and encourage people to remove themselves and to look at it objectively. Where is all this contention coming from, Commissioner Haslam?
You know, it's coming from a couple different places, Steve. We're starting to hold all the elected officials as we go through and we've restructured how our accounting department works and how all that goes across. We are holding people accountable for their actions, for money that's being spent, for the way the process works. We are holding everybody to the fire, so we will be able to see how the money's spent, if it was approved, and if the procedures followed correctly. And that's one of the main contentions. And the other thing is they like to have money sitting there so they can do with it what they please. We believe, at least I believe, that it. We need to have enough money to be stable. We need to have enough to be responsible. But if we can pay this debt off, it eliminates us having to make the payments. And that way that we can leave more money in the taxpayers' pocket.
You say if we can pay the debt off with the public safety complex.
About when? You like when better?
Well, I'm just wondering, is there an if?
No, there's no if. In my mind, there's no if. The money's been...
You are all in agreement that will be paid off. You voted on it,
yeah,
right?
We passed a resolution that transferred the money so we can pay it off, yes.
All right, so it will be paid off. And will reducing the county debt compromise the county tax credit rating, Commissioner Stringer?
No, excuse me. There's a that you can get information off of Standard & Poor's and others, and they do evaluate. They tell you how they come up with your score, and whether it's personal, whether it's an individual going in to buy a car, or whether it's a state or a large company going in, there's always a relationship between what you owe and what your cash flow is. Mm-hmm. So as long
that's
as your
income,
yes. So there is, it's a fallacy to think, oh, look how many credit cards I have. Look how much credit I have. I have a good rating. They keep giving me credit. It still is tied to your income. And if your income and your debt stays the same, it doesn't matter. So if you have $1 billion and $500 million in debt, or whether you have $1,500,000 or an equivalent, it's the ratio. It's not the number. So,
Commissioner Haslam.
Yeah, I pulled up a Moody's report that was pulled on the county in 2018, and that's when we really started taking a look at paying this debt off. And if you look at, there's three main things that they work on your credit over. Is one is finances, how much money you have in your accounts. We're above, way above the medium cash balances that we have, and even with paying the debt off, we're still above the national average. And then they look at your economy and your tax base, and we're in great shape there. And then it was funny, in 2018, our credit was actually hurt, and it states right here, the debt and pension liabilities of Uinta County are elevated overall, unfavorable in comparison to A3 ratings.
So the debt affected our credit rating.
Yes, the debt. And that's how it affects us. And we have to make sure that we keep that in line. We had too much debt. Even Moody's said that. And we've taken care of that.
Okay. Commissioner Haslam, you were criticized during yesterday's hearing for initiating this move so close to the primary election. I'd like both of you to talk about that. Was the timing intentional, or would you like to respond to that?
Oh, I'd love to answer that question, Steve. We look at my first campaign. I mean, that was 4 years ago. We committed to pay off debt. I committed to lower taxes, and I committed to bring the spending of the county in line.
That was your campaign ad.
That was my campaign ad, and I've done that. We didn't just wait till this year right before campaign and pay off all the debt. We've been paying debt off each year, every year. We have been bringing the spending habits in line every year. This is just the final piece of the puzzle. We our goal was to be out of debt, and we will be there. And so it has nothing to do with it. It's the same time of year, every year. The certified tax rate will be coming out in
June 22nd.
We had to act before that time. It has to do with the primaries right now. That has nothing to do with why we're doing this right now.
Commissioner Stringer, is Uinta County the most conservative county in the state? I listened to your closing comments during yesterday's commission meeting very intently, and I really would like you to kind of repeat some of what you said.
Steve, I've been going to conventions, and I've been going to organizing committees for years, and I remember a meeting where I was sitting next to Rob Bishop, and we were having it over at the courthouse. And
Rob Bishop was our congressional representative.
Yes, our U.S. rep. And someone who was presenting said something about Uinta County being the most Republican, or what? I think it was Republican, not Republican.
Based on the voting records for the Mitt Romney election.
Well, I didn't say. This was way before Mitt Romney. This is 6 years ago.
Okay.
6-8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Rob Bishop looked and goes, "Where did you come up with that?" And I said, "Well, I've heard that before." And he goes, he shook his head and he indicated, "No, that was not the case at all," which was a little concerning to me, because this county has always seemed to be a good working class county, conservative values, and I realize, of course, that conservative can mean social and fiscal. Mm-hmm. And so you can't just say the most fiscally conservative, therefore you're the most, or you're the most socially conservative, you're the most conservative in the country.
So Rob Bishop didn't think we were.
No. And so it got me thinking, huh. So I actually looked online and started Googling it and found out we weren't even, based on voting record, we weren't even the most Republican or the most conservative in the state. I think Utah County beat us out in some ways, but that's beside the point. What it got me going on was then I started looking at our fiscal policies and and I look at the Republican platform, and maybe I look at it a little differently than most, but I've and it's probably with a more conservative lean, but the fact is I look at the Republican Party as being pro-business. That's one of the things that we do. The other is small government. And it's not always, taxes are necessary, but usually in recent times, starting with the great Ronald Reagan, tax reform was one of those things that was a hallmark of the Republican platform. And Donald Trump, same thing. Well, Uinta County was anything but that. Uinta County has been, I think it's clear, you look at it, Uinta County has been taxing, its property tax has been higher than it needs to be. Uinta County's been collecting more tax money than it needed to operate. And a lot of that was due to our high centrally assessed values that were coming in. But I think Uinta County became kind of addicted to that extra money and found ways to spend it. But it wasn't always put back into the community, but it was nevertheless used. And the only way to do that is you plow it back into government. That is not conservative, and I don't think that's Republican either. So I'm a little concerned that from what we've found in recent years, up till now, looking backwards, you can see where the community has put more money in to run the county than was needed to run it, and I'm not sure they got their money's worth.
Are the elected officials in your mind paid too much?
Not now. They're getting to be about where they should be. If inflation had been the same, inflation ran less than 2% until about 2 years ago. That was the Federal Reserve's goal, was to keep it. They would like try to get it up to 2%, but for definitely from the years 2003 up to 2015, it was below. The average was 1.9, and it stayed low until we got Joe Biden in as president, and he made inflation skyrocket. So if you went through and you said 1.9% every year up till it hit 7% and then 8%, you'd have a salary lower than what we've had since 2014, 2015. So I think it's finally starting to catch up. If you would have given a raise of 3% per year from 2003 until 2020, and then put a 7% in 21 and an 8% in 22, you would be almost exactly where the current salary is.
Okay. All right.
So no, we were overpaid for quite some time. It's not that you didn't get a raise. We just got it really early.
So the fact that elected officials haven't had a raise in the past 4 or 5 years is...
Well, that's because they had about 7 of them at one time, more or less.
Okay. Was it important, Commissioner Stringer, I'm going to ask you this again, this question directly, that we have a budget officer? Why did we need a budget officer? And would these tax deductions and debt payoff, would that have been possible without a budget officer? And if not, why?
Well, there for a while, we had so much money coming in that we didn't have professional money people. And so we just, with enough money, you can take care of things. You don't have to have a sharp pencil in order to do that. So as we started trying to unwind what had been going on for so long, a budget officer became critical. We have a budget officer who's a CPA, somebody who really can understand and deal with money, and not just because it's there's so much you can't mess it up, but it also helped us find out where the money was, because we had we asked, we have letters, we tried to find out, and we're working in there. I pity the poor citizen who tried to file a grandma request to get information, because they wouldn't even know where to look, what to ask for. They couldn't possibly find out. We couldn't find out. So a budget officer helped us unwind the numbers. Eventually, you start with the numbers, you start digging into them, and things start to fall out. And when you do, that's when you can start making intelligent decisions about expenditures, needed funding, what to do, what you can do. Also, it helps when you get someone who can do that. The county is lacking a planning horizon. There is no real county plan for where we would like to see ourselves in 3 years or 4 years. We're a little bit more opportunistic when, well, we got money, let's do something. I think the budget officer has brought order and consistency, and a lot of that is due to having a professional background in finance.
Okay. Has the budget officer helped us save money?
Yes.
Because at a time when the county's been looking at reducing expenses, many were surprised that you brought in a budget officer, because that's increasing payroll, right?
Increased payroll, but the return was in the millions. We found...
It was an investment, in other words.
It was an investment, and with a very good return.
Economic benefits to the county of having a tax reduction. Now, I want to emphasize that, Mark Caldwell, can you tell us what percentage of the property taxes, of a person's property tax bill is Uinta County's portion?
I believe Uinta County is about 24% of your total property tax in Uinta County. So okay. About 65% is the school district.
All right. So the largest portion is the school district, and the county gets a portion of that. And it's about 20, how much?
About 24-25%.
So the 37% reduction is going to be on the 23%.
That's right. It's 36% reduction of 25% of your property tax.
Well, I wanted to make that clear, because people might be thinking that their entire tax break is going to be that. And also, I think property values have gone up, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Property values have gone way up this year. We've seen an increase of $375 million in the central assessed. That's a 19% increase from last year.
All right. What about private homes and businesses?
Private homes, those numbers aren't out yet, but the sampling of homes that I've looked at, they're all up a lot.
Okay. So people are going to be paying more property taxes, and so this reduction will help them?
Well, they won't be paying more, because the county will be able to collect what's budgeted. And so this budget amendment that we just did reduced what the county's budgeted.
Right.
So the property taxes should actually go down.
But even with the inflation, though, it normally would be higher.
Even though your values of your home went up, that'll just make the certified rate lower, and so we'll collect the same amount. We'll collect the budgeted revenue.
Okay.
And this adjustment has reduced the budgeted revenue by $4.2 million for the current year.
Thank you for clarification of that. Bart Haslam, Commissioner Haslam, other economic benefits. Will developers be possibly more incentivized to build housing developments in Uinta County with the lower property tax structure?
I would say yes. I mean, if you're going to invest your money and build homes, where would you want to build money? Where your taxes are lower, probably the lowest in the state, or I mean, that's where I'd want to do it. Okay. You know, and the one thing, Stephen, I know you touched on it, but I want to make sure, because this is a big misunderstanding. The budget, the tax cuts that we have made, in no way, shape, or form will affect schools, or the water, or anything else. It's only the services the county provides. And we will not change the services. We have enough money and we have a strong enough budget that the services will not change.
If we have a calamity in the future,
we're fine.
We have enough money.
We do.
In a rainy day fund to manage the county through an emergency crisis.
Well, when you talk about a calamity, I think there was a review of the last 10, 15 years of what unexpected expenses arose. Mm-hmm. And so you can, it's not looking backwards is predictive, can be predictive, but it's not definitive. So you're saying, well, this looked like our worst year. And actually one of those, I think, was when we were self-insured. But nevertheless, you go forward and say, well, let's look for at a bad year and add 10% or 20%. But if we get hit with a catastrophe like Duchesne did with flooding or with fire, that's FEMA. That's what insurance is for. We're not prepared, whether we paid this off or not, we're not prepared for a natural disaster like that. We're going to be dependent upon the state and the federal government.
I heard it argued in the meeting yesterday that if the county building lost an air conditioner, we wouldn't be able to afford to replace it or those type of expenses.
No, year to year, these kind of operations that you're talking about, we may come back on, a washer and dryer or a roof. I think the largest one we found was about $350,000, and we still have plenty of money in the bank accounts to take care of that.
Well, I took careful notes during the 2.5 hour meeting yesterday. I've gone through all of the questions that I think were brought up or objections that were brought up. Are there any others that you'd like to bring up, commissioners, that you have heard that we haven't asked and answered this evening's program?
No, the biggest concern I've heard the whole time, and I brought that up, is the cuts that we've taken are going to affect this school district. That is not true. Why would you want to pay off debt? That was one of the biggest ones that I heard, and I want to ask, why wouldn't you want to pay off debt? If you can pay off the debt, and I think I said this the last time I was on the radio, but one of the greatest times in people's lives is when they pay their mortgage off, when they're debt-free. They don't have that mortgage, that monkey on their back. Why wouldn't the county and the taxpayers want that same thing? As long as we have enough money in our bank accounts to take care of everyday operations and take care of if there's an emergency that comes up that we have that, why would we want to continue to tax and tax, overtax the taxpayer?
Do you anticipate with the increase in revenue that the county is receiving, Commissioner Haslam, that we will be looking at another tax break possibly with reduced debt obligations and increased income?
You know, we're taking a big hit right now.
It's huge.
It's I guarantee it's the biggest one that's ever happened in Uinta County, if not around the state. And we feel comfortable.
I'm surprised it's not all over network television.
Well, I think it's going there. I've been contacted. Keep in mind, there's 29 counties in the state of Utah, and I think I was looking a few minutes ago, and I think I've been contacted by 22. Different counties asking how that we was able to do this.
You were criticized as being the laughing stock of the state for doing this.
We've been criticized for being the laughing stock of the state for a lot of things that we've done.
Are we getting criticism from other state leaders, other county leaders for doing what
far
we're doing?
From it. We call and a lot of different commissioners will call and ask how we're doing these things, getting advice. The state, we work with the state every day. We have great relationships. I can pick up the phone and call the state at any time. I can call the federal delegations that we have any time. We have great relationships. We're far from the laughingstock. They actually look at what we're accomplishing and wondering how we can do it. Steve, just look at it. Just take this simple thing in the last 4 years, 6 years, we paid off $56 million in debt. We have not raised taxes. We're giving a tax break, and we'll still have $75 million.
It's almost unbelievable.
It is.
To your point, Steve.
I'm trying to find out where the problems are here, and I'm really struggling.
The subject of sitcoms and other situational issues throughout our popular culture is when you find yourself in trouble, you stop digging, right? If you're in a hole, stop digging, figure out where you are. And what we've been trying to do for some time, and we feel like we're finally there, is where was our money going? If you want to run a budget, an effective budget, the first thing you got to do is go, what are my obligations? Well, it wasn't the easiest thing for us to find our obligations, but when we did, then we could finally figure out where we were. We could, you could look at what revenue might be. You could look at what true expenses were going to be. What I think it does is it starts to put us in shape for, because we did through 7 years of holding back, now that salaries are starting to catch up or starting to, especially with inflation, I don't know that we need or we should be looking forward to a tax cut going forward, but at least we will know exactly how much we might need if we do, instead of just taking and taking and it, we will now know, okay, this is what we're going to fund. This is how much we're going to fund. This is where, and then say, well, we've got it, or we don't. And if we don't, how much more do we need? If we have Joe Biden continuing some of what he's doing, the public, our employees and the public are going to need some relief, and we're going to have to do that. But I expect everybody can see that. That's not a secret. They're going to know why it's happening. That's what's been missing.
I'm kind of concerned about something that I think both of you have alluded to, that you are having trouble getting financial information from our clerk auditor. Were you having difficulty getting that information, Commissioner Stringer?
When I was the chairman, I signed several letters addressed from the commission to the clerk auditor with very specific information being requested. We did not get that information, and it was December. There were two letters, I think about a week apart, requesting information. We ended up having to go forward anyway because we needed to pass a budget legally. We had to pass it. We did it on the 28th, I think, of December, because we were out of time. The lawyer was concerned. He goes, no one's ever not passed a budget. We got to pass a budget. So we did end up getting some, I think, verbal commitments to answering the questions.
But you couldn't get questions answered.
But we did not get them answered, no.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Are there any final comments that either of you have, all three of you? I know you're here to answer questions, Mark, and you've done a very good job of that. We thank you. Any other points that you'd like to bring up?
No, the only thing I'd like to say in closing, Steve, is the county's in great financial shape. If you can look in the mirror and you can say that you've done everything you possibly can to not overtax the citizens, you've paid off the debt, and you don't have those payments any longer, that we're in great financial shape. We can take this recession on if it comes like it looks like it's going to come, and we'll be in good shape. And if you don't have those payments, you don't have to make them when the times are tough. We're in a great place, actually.
About the only other thing I would say is I haven't heard this. Well, I've heard it indirectly, and that is, well, you're not running again, so you're not going to be in. So what do you care? I said I care a lot. I will finish my term out till the last day. If I were staying, I wouldn't be the least bit concerned about taking on this cut and this budget. I think we are well within any margin of error and our ability to move forward. And if we need to take care of employees more, if based on the pressures that are coming from gas prices, food prices, etc., we're not in a bind. I wouldn't be the least bit concerned about inheriting this budget.
Mark Caldwell, final comment. Do you agree with these statements? Are we in good financial shape after the bond debt is paid and after the reduction in property taxes?
Yeah, I think we're in great shape. We still have $75 million that'll be in the bank. We'll be relieved of the debt payment, $2.4 million a year. Our sales tax is higher than it's been ever, so our revenues coming in from sales tax are breaking all kinds of records, and that helps us to do this also.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for this special program on News Talk KVEL. Uinta County Commissioners voted to reduce property taxes on the county's portion by nearly 37%. This is an unprecedented move, and we appreciate the opportunity that we've had of visiting with them about questions that have been raised regarding this. Thank you for joining us for this special program on News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL.